ధ్యాయామోదవళావగుండనవతీం తేజోమయీం నైష్టికీం స్నిగ్ధాపాంగ విలోకినీం భగవతీం మందస్మితశ్రీముఖీం వాత్సల్యామృతవర్షిణీం సుమధుర సంకీర్తనాలాపినీం శ్యామాంగీ మధుసిక్తసూక్తిం అమృతానందాత్మికామీశ్వరీం. So in the previous day we saw a brief into the sixth chapter of Gita that we are going to learn. So today we will see the first shloka. The first shloka sets the stage for yogam. Yogam, what yogam is. As we discuss, yogam means a person whose mind abides in Brahman, a person who is able to always focus on Brahman, a person who is constantly contemplating on Brahman, or Advaita Bhavam, without any Bheda Buddhi, without any Dvaita Bhavam. That was being explained, or that's what we discussed. And that is what the Lord says as Yogam. So with that introduction, keeping that idea in mind, we can continue the first shloka. So as to what is yoga, so in the previous chapter, like yoga means, as we saw yesterday, yoga means like externally doing actions, but the mind abiding in Brahman. So it's all a inner attitude, as we saw yesterday. It is just inside. It is just in the mind. It's not anything external. So that is what we saw yesterday. So Krishna, in the fifth chapter of Gita, talks about sannyasam, and then like he continues that topic here as well. So he speaks as to sannyasam, karma sannyasam, as well as yogam. Yoga means karma yogam. As well, karma yogam means karma yogam backed by the real yogam of samatvam, the real yogam of advaita bhavam in the mind. So that both are not different. So generally, like, we consider sannyasam and karma as two entirely different things. So most of the time, like, we compare ourselves, compare people in the world, and categorize them as either sannyasis or grihasthas, or people like who are not sannyasis, who are living in the world and doing actions. So that is how we see that's how, like, our perspective of action, our perspective with respect to action is. So one is, or one are, people who do actions, perform actions externally, and the other are people who have renounced actions, who are called sannyasis. The other are called karma yogis, people who indulge in karma. So general notion is both these are different. So both these are different because sannyasam. So sannyasam means a state like where a person has renounced all external activities, which means a person who has, like, a person who is able to do activities only for the welfare of the world, not for his own personal purpose. So actions have been renounced. So sannyasis aren't supposed to do a lot of activities. So sannyasis should not do many activities. So many activities that we are supposed to do, or we can do, sannyasis aren't supposed to do. Sannyasis should not do activities that a normal person does. So they don't have eligibility to do activities, such activities. So there are many activities, like first is marriage, then like with marriage comes children, and like along with that other things also come up. So everything comes over there, everything gets added. So that is something like which we know. So that is how we think. Sannyasis aren't supposed to do actions. At the same time, a yogi or a person who is doing karma externally, he can do any activities. He doesn't have any restriction with respect to doing activities. That is what we generally think. So that is what we consider, but that is not a right vision. That is not a right perspective. That is not right knowledge. So externally a person might be a sannyasi, but internally a person might still have the sense of ego. A person might think he is doing actions. A person might think that he is enjoying fruits. So there are many sannyasis who dwell upon the care, the money and other things that they get from people, like from their followers or from their fans or devotees. So many people are there, many sannyasis are there who just run behind or are interested in getting some benefit out of people. So such sannyasis, like as we have talked about, such sannyasis are worse than even worldly people, like who exploit us. Sannyasis also exploit us. Oh, can sannyasis exploit us? We do see many cases like that. There are like false sannyasis that we have seen in this world. Of course, just one person being false doesn't mean all sannyasis are bad. So that is not the case. But there are cases like that as well. And there are, at the same time, there are cases of worldly people also behaving bad. So this means that external state is just a dress that we wear. So we may wear a police dress. It doesn't matter. If we wear a police dress, we have to do the activity of the police. But like, it doesn't matter whether we wear the police dress or not. What really matters is... What really matters is whether we are able to do the activities of a police, of a cop, while internally remaining unaffected by it. So most of the time that doesn't happen. People get attached to the action. People get addicted to the action. People bring in their bias to the action. People are attached to it so that like when they have to stop, they cannot stop. So when they have to do the right thing, like their emotions come into picture. So they brag about what they have achieved, whereas they don't say anything about like their mistakes. They don't learn from their mistakes. They don't understand their mistakes. So all those also happen. So this means that externally, like a person might wear the dress of a policeman, but that doesn't mean a person will do or will be a true policeman. Any true situation, any true scenario is not just controlled by external factors. What is required, what is essential, is the mental state, is the inner attitude, and that is more important than even the external state. So externally we may sit in meditation, like we may sit with our legs folded, or we may close our eyes and we may be meditating, but internally, all the while, like when we are meditating, all the while, like our mind might be brooding over something else. It very well happens. Many times it happens for us as well. We would have had experiences. We sit down for meditation, but the meditation is not coming. What is coming? Like only what is something is smelling in the kitchen. What is my mother? What is my what have my parents cooked? So that is what will be there in the mind. So meditation doesn't come. So many times meditation doesn't come at all. I'm sorry. Yeah, many times meditation doesn't come. we will be concentrating or brooding over other things. So externally, the environment is set, but there is no meditation at all. On the other hand, like we can see that there may be people like who may be walking around. So they may be walking, but we can see that see a glow in their face. Why? Because they are meditating while walking. So external influences are essential initially. So we can't just go to a party and then like meditate over there. The sound will be horrible, so we will not be able to meditate. So initially some refrain is required, but external situations just set the stage. They don't necessarily mean a person has to have the inner attitude. So that is why Krishna says here, a true sannyasi, a true yogi that doesn't depend on external situation, that doesn't depend on whether a person is wearing an ochre dress, that doesn't necessarily mean that just by wearing an ochre robe, a person is a sannyasi or a true sannyasi in the mind. Similarly with yogis as well. So we may think a person is not wearing an ochre robe and then thereby like he is very focused. He may not be focused at all. So he may not be focused. He may not be doing anything internally. He may appear to be meditating or appear to be focused on Ishvara's surrendering to Ishvara, but there may be like no surrender at all. So that is what happens in the world. So many people, they will say, when something happened, like, how are you? Oh, Amma's grace. We may say very easily, Amma's grace. But when we try to analyze it, like, we will find that there is no Amma's grace and all. They just say like that. They don't have an inner attitude. Their mind is not concentrating on Amma. They just say it like it is. Just Nama Matram. It is just like a word. Naam ke vaste. It is just only in word. It's not in deed. It's not there in the mind. That is how like we see many people in the world. Similarly, like we have to interpret a sannyasi or define sannyasi and a yogi not based on a person's external state, whereas based on a person's inner state. A person who is focused on Brahman, a person who has Advaita Bhavam, such a person is a true sannyasi, such a person is a true jnani. Of course, sannyasam, yogam or jnanam, all those have to be explained with respect to action. Because Arjuna's main question was with respect to action, with respect to karma. So Arjuna didn't want to do karma, so that means everything has to be explained with respect to karma. So Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Bhagavan Krishna said, Anashrata karma phalam karyam karma karotiyah sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na cha akriyah. So generally as we think, people like sannyasis are not supposed to light fire. Sannyasa dharma. So dharma, there are dharma with respect to the world. So externally dharma is there. So when we are in a US country, like we should not we should not go out and firecrackers, or we should not explode or set firecrackers. It is not allowed. Similarly, like in India, like there may be rules that are not acceptable. That's not accepted. So there are rules for every country. Similarly, there are rules for any dharma, external dharma as well. So sannyasa dharma means a person should not start fire, and like a person should be without any action. So niragni means without any agni. And akriya means without any action. So sannyasa dharma says that a person should not lit fire or create fire. A person should not do any action. So inactivity is one of the dharma of sannyasam. Okay, speaking about sannyasam, it would be It would be totally wrong if it is not mentioned. So sannyasam has two aspects to it. Sannyasam has two aspects or is defined. Their activities are defined as two. Atmano rakshartam jagat hitaya cha. Atmano rakshartam atmanah rakshartam. In order to protect, protect or uplift the Atman. So uplifting the Atman, protecting the Atman, knowing the Atman, Atmajnanam and Jagat Hitam, doing welfare to the entire world. So these are the two activities that a sannyasi should do. So even as a worldly person seeks moksha, a sannyasi also seeks moksha. Sannyasi seeks moksha in a different way, through a different path, whereas a yogi seeks moksha in a different way. So two people get from the house, two people start from the same house, both have to go to the same destination. One person takes a bus, another person takes a cab, or one person takes a bus, another person walks, another person drives a bike. So two people take the same different way, different paths, the same way a sannyasi and a yogi, a normal activity person. So here the yogi means karma yogi, not real yogam. Real yogam Krishna will come to later. It's just karma yogam, doing action. So a karmi, we can say, a person who does karma, and sannyasi is a person who doesn't do karma. Generally karma itself is called karma yoga. People who do their activities very well, their kartavyam. So kartavyam, we have kartavyam or duty to duty in the world as to this, should we should do this, we should do that. There are duties in the world, so people run behind these duties. So many people claim, many people say that, oh, I am a karma yogi. Why? Because I'm doing my duty perfectly. Such duty bound people are people who claim that they are doing their duty are not doing their duty at all. They're not doing it at all. So doing duty is not our duty. Our primary duty is not doing our duty. Our primary duty is realization. Our primary duty is to know who we are. We already don't know. We think we are the body. We think we are the ego. We are not that. So we are not the body. We are not the indriya. We are not the mind. We are not the ego. We are the Atman. So we don't know that. So that is a true duty. And after realizing our nature, then remembering that in the mind is the duty. Is the duty, the duty is to remember the truth. Asatyameva jayate. So remembering the truth is a duty. Asatyameva jayate nanrutam. Satyena panta visato devayanaha. Yena akramanti rishayo. Hi apta kamaha. Yatra satyasya. I forgot the last part. So Satyameva Jayate is not just something that was created by the judicial system of India. Satyameva Jayate is from Mundaka Upanishad, and there it's not empirical truth, it is ultimate truth that is spoken about. Empirical truth changes. Empirical truth is relative. At the empirical plane it may seem to be long, right, but ultimately it is unreal. So it is like the dream truth. So truth, what appears true in dream. So we dream, and in dream we try to figure out what is right, what is wrong, and we figure it out. So that itself is wrong, because it is temporary, it's not real. Whatever we see in dream is always short-lived, it's not real. It's not, it is negated once a person gets up. So once a person gets up, it vanishes. So that is how it is. In the same way, vyavaharam or satyameva jayate in the judicial system is only for external or empirical truth, external empirical truth, not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth that pulsates inside us, that is present as the entire world, that is what is being hinted in the Upanishad as satyameva jayate. It always wins. How can it not win? Winning and failing, winning and losing are there. Win and loss are there only when there is duality. Something should be, there should be some competition And in the competition, one should win, one should lose. There is no competition at all. Why? Because there is only one. If there is only one, there is no competition. If there is no competition, who can win, who can lose? So nobody can win, nobody can lose. So that means that is why it's called Satyam Eva Jayate. Satyam alone wins, because that alone exists. Like people who don't remember this eternal statement that Satyam alone wins, it doesn't matter like whether they think that Satyam is not there, only external world is real. They will suffer. They will suffer all the while when Satyam is winning. When Satyam is winning, like we can try, we can give. So like we are walking outside and it's raining. So we can just please convince the mind and say that it is not raining, it is not raining, it is not raining. That doesn't matter. Truth remains different whether I see it, somebody else sees it, whether a person believing sees it, whether a person unbelieving sees it. It doesn't really matter. Truth always remains the same. If we apprehend truth as it is, we will experience anandam. If we apprehend truth in a wrong way, then like we will not be able to get any bliss. Rather, we will suffer in pain. We will suffer. Our suffering will be the end result. So today, like we see that people like kartavyam, all those kartavyam and all people say, but the kartavyam, true kartavyam, is to know the self, know the truth. So like unless that is known, like there is no kartavyam. But still people run behind or say that they are following the truth and all. Similar with sannyasis, like we generally run behind sannyasis. So like how many sannyasis are realized? How many sannyasis are true? How many sannyasis are Ishwara Bhaktas? How many sannyasis remember Ishwara in the mind? Very few. Very less. Hardly any, we can say. That is why like he udharanimitam bahukrita veshah, as Shankara says in Bhajagovindam, that many people wear this ochre robe, kashayambara bahukrita veshah pashyan nabina pashyati moodu, he udharanimitam bahukrita veshah. So like many people wear ochre dress, but still they don't perceive the ever present Atman. So they don't perceive the ever present Atman, but still they think they are sannyasis. And such people are wearing or have sannyasam only in order to fill their tummy. So it means it has also become a profession. Today like Vedanta is also a profession. People can just set up some Vedanta site, or they can set up some Vedanta classes and charge money for it. And people are willing. People are so desperate today that they will be even willing to pay for it. That's how, like, unfortunately, that's how it is today. So we should never fall into all those traps. A person who says like kartavyam, I am doing my kartavyam, he is not at all doing his kartavyam. He is not doing kartavyam at all. So really, kartavyam, like a person who does kartavyam, is a person who seeks Brahman, who tries to keep Brahman in mind. That is true kartavyam. Such people are very rare. So anyway, Krishna here says that sannyasi, there may be a sannyasi like who doesn't touch fire, who doesn't do any activity, or a worldly person like who might be doing like his karma in the right way. So I have a family, I take care of my family, I take care of my children, so I am like going to go to heaven. Okay, well and good. I am a bhakta. Are we really bhaktas? Do we become bhaktas by doing duty like or taking care of our children or doing all those like normal duties? Definitely no. We already know that's not a bhakta. Bhakta means a person like who is fully focused on ananya bhajanam. That is bhakta. So ananya bhajanam, like whoever does ananya bhajanam, he is a bhakta. Not all this. These are not bhaktas. These are disguised bhaktas. They are not bhaktas. They are disguised as bhaktas. They are not bhaktas at all. So here Krishna says, Krishna defines sannyasam and yogam, both are one and the same. So there is no point of arguing, like people who argue saying that sannyasam is greater, karma is greater, this is greater, that is greater. There is nothing great and all. So there is no greater, there is no bigger, there is no lesser, smaller. So all those are not there in Vedanta, because in Vedanta, Advaitam alone is real. So it is only non-duality that is real. There is no bigger, greater and all those. So Sannyasam and Karma Yoga both are one and the same. And what is that? Anashrutaha Karma Phalam. Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha. So Yaha, he who anashruta karma phalam. So anashrutaha, not depending, not seeking, not expecting karma phala, karma phalam. So not expecting the phala of action. Karma phala means the fruit of action. So not expecting any fruit. Karyam karma karoti. Karyam karma karoti. Whatever his role has to, his role is destined to do. So if our role, like if our role is that like we have to work as a software engineer, then fine. If our role says that we are a man and we have to do manly activities, fine. If our role is that like we are a woman and we have to do womanly activities, fine. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what activity, but whatever activity that this role, this body has come with this body, ego, that he does without expecting any fruits. Sasanyasi. He is a sannyasi cha yogi, and yogi cha sannyasi cha yogi cha sannyasi, as well as yogi. Na niragnihi, that person like who doesn't touch fire, nor a person, na cha akriyaha, that person who doesn't do any action, he is not a sannyasi or a yogi. A true sannyasi or a yogi is one who has overcome the bondage of karma by not expecting any karma phala, and doing actions in the best possible way he can do. So, this means that sannyasam, like a true sannyasam, true karma yoga, is going beyond karma. So, going beyond karma is something that which is also explained in the 4th chapter by Krishna. Karmanya karmaya pashyet, akarmanicha karmaya, sabuddhiman manishyeshu, sayuptaha kritsna karma krit. Akarma, in akarma, karma, karma in akarma. So many people seem to be doing actions. In fact, they are not doing true action. And many people seem to be not doing action, but still they are doing action. So people like Amma and others are doing action, but internally they have renounced karma phala. They are not attached with the ego, therefore they are not doing action at all. On the other hand, many people are not doing actions externally, but still they are doing actions internally with the mind. So they are still doing activities. So going beyond karma is sannyasam, like whether it is renouncing the action external activity externally or doing activity externally, going beyond the bondage of karma mentally is sannyasam, is karma yogam. And that, like karma, the bandham of karma. So how karma is instigated is karma. When we do an action based on a desire to attain something. Like we listen to Vedanta, listen to Vedantic discourses. Why? Because we know like from that like we can learn a lot. So seeking some desire, of course this desire is desire for moksha. In other cases there were other desires. So moksha iccha is called mumukshutvam. Like mumukshutvam is a that one desire is acceptable, that one desire is fine. All other desires have to be renounced, renounced at all cost, because like najatu kamaha kamanam upabhogena shamyate avisha krishna vatmaiva bhuyayeva abhivardate. As Manu says, the more and more we do activities, the more and more a person tries to fulfill desire through activities, the more activities will grow. The thirst for activities will grow more, and like it is like trying to get rid of, trying to extinguish karma, the karma bandham, by doing karma, by fulfilling desires, is like trying to extinguish fire by pouring ghee in it. So it will not stop the fire from burning, but it will only make fire glow. It will make fire more vigorous. The fire will burn more vigorously. So anyway, going back, karma. So karma is based on kamam, which means based on the mental state. Kama means desire. Desire means in the mind. So desire means karma phala, phala ichcha is desire. So it is a mental state. So externally activities, like if we have to conquer actions, externally activities might be done, but if we have to conquer karma, the karma bandham, then what we have to do is control it internally. So internally get rid of ichcha, the kamam, desire. When that happens, karma automatically vanishes. But if we try to get rid of karma externally, it may be that kamam still is there. Kamam may still be there. So kamam or desire gets converted into external activity, action. But that, like, just because we get rid of external action doesn't mean desire is not there. A desire may still be there. So if we get rid of desire, that is the cause of the effect of karma. Getting rid of the effect doesn't mean the cause will vanish. Cause may still be there. If we get rid of the cause, the effect also will go. So let's say, like, we have fever. So when we have fever, like, we try to like our body is like very warm. There is heat from the body. So we just go into the bathtub and like we put open cold water and then we immerse ourselves in the cold water. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to get rid of the effect of heat. So when we get rid of the effect of heat, that doesn't mean the cause of fever goes away. Fever still stays. But if we are able to get rid of the fever, the cause, so by taking a tablet, automatically the heat that is dissipated from the body, or the hotness of the body, will immediately vanish. So in a similar way, if we get rid of kamam, karma will completely get eliminated. Karma gets eliminated means karma bandham gets eliminated, as we talked about earlier. Actions may still continue. So we may do activities like an actor portrays a role. So let's assume that the actor is portraying a role, not desiring anything. So similarly, we will be able to do that. Though we don't get anything from dream, we still do dream daily. And like every day we dream. Some people come and say, oh, I didn't dream anything yesterday. They'll be sad that they didn't dream. People still dream, like, though they know that it is of no use. So in the same way, like, we'll be able to perform activities. Activities are fine, but internally there will be no kamam. So it is karma bandham will vanish. So in order for karma bandham to vanish, kamam has to vanish, which means phala ichcha, desiring the fruit or desiring of fruit, should vanish. So this is what Ramana Maharshi says, as Ishvara Arpitam na ichchaya kratam chitta shodakam mukti sadakam. So karma performed as an offering to Ishvara and without craving, without any phala ichcha, that purifies the mind and thereby leads to liberation or helps in moksha. So that means in order to get rid of karma bandham, first thing we have to do is phala ichcha. We should get rid of phala ichcha. And the second thing is not just the phalam but the karma. So let's say, like, action with activities, we may do activities yearning or seeking the fruit of the activity, but we may also get attached to the activity, not the fruit, but the activity itself. So we do an activity, what the activity is, like shouting at people, shouting at our people below us. We are a boss. So bossing attitude, like, we may not expect any fruit, but like the bossing attitude gives a sense of ego. So the fruit, like, we don't get much fruit. What happens is we don't get any fruit out of the scolding. What we get, like, out of the scolding is like just a mental satisfaction while scolding. And it's not there after scolding also. After scolding, the person vanishes and there is no peace. But like when the person is there, when we are scolding, we get a sense of happiness because of the ego sense. That means karma bandham. So that ego sense, getting attached to the karma, which will lead to pride, which is not enjoyment out of any fruit, but it is about considering ourselves as great. Having pride, jealousy, and all those attitudes will come into picture. So karma, we have to get rid of attachment to the action itself, and as well as attachment to the fruit of action. When these both are eliminated, then we will be able to get rid of the bondage of karma. Karma bandham completely vanishes when we are able to get rid of the attachment to the action in itself and attachment to the fruit of action. So attachment to the fruit of action can be removed, as Krishna says here, anashrata karma phalam, not depending on the fruit. And like attachment to the karma in itself can be negated by performing the activity as an offering. When we perform the activity as an offering, then ego, sense, pride, all those will not be there. And when we are offering something onto Ishvara, automatically the phala ichcha will also vanish by considering everything as Ishvara's will. So as Amma always says, like, when something good happens, it is Ishvara's grace. When something bad happens, it is Ishvara's will. Both ways, it is Ishvara, like, who controls both. It is Ishvara, like Ishvara, Ishvara Icha, like everything is Ishvara Icha. That means everywhere, like every action, every result of the action will make us remember Advaita. So this doesn't mean that, like, just because we offer something onto Ishvara, like, we will be realized. We may be sannyasis and we may be karma yogis, but such sannyasam and karma yogam will be short-lived if we don't remember Ishvara as all-pervasive. We may think, like, we may offer fruits to Ishvara, thinking that Ishvara is like Vishnu and very powerful. So that means, like, there will be some kind of seeking again there, some kind of seeking the form, like maybe seeking the form. So there also, like, oh, Vishnu, beautiful form of Vishnu, we will get attached to the form. So there itself, a phala icha will come. So therefore, considering Ishvara as all pervasive Brahman. Considering Ishvara as Brahman, as Advaitam, Advitiya Satyam, is very essential in order to get over the bondage of karma. So in order to become a sannyasi or a yogi, we need to first understand who that Ishvara is, and then offer activities onto Ishvara and consider all the fruit that comes out of activities as a grace, as a prasadam of Ishvara. So this means the first thing we have to emphasize our mind, teach our mind, is that Ishvara means Ishavasyam Itam Sarvam. Ishvara means one who pervades this entire world. Itchakinchit Jagat Sarvam Drishyate Shruyate Piva Antar Bahishyatat Sarvam Vyapin Narayanastitaha. So, like, whatever is there in this world, like moving, not moving, sentient, insentient, like animals, man, and other planets, other loka, it doesn't matter. Whatever is there in this world, that all those are pervaded in and out by Ishvara. Ishvara pervades them in and out. So, in and out, like, not just a little bit, like, it is in and out. Ishvara pervades them, like, in and out. Means, like, he is there throughout. So how can Ishvara pervade this world? Oh, Ishvara is all pervasive. Oh, that is kind of weird. How can Ishvara be inside and outside of objects? So Ishvara is inside and outside of objects means Ishvara is present everywhere. And such an Ishvara, like, it is very much well possible for Ishvara to be present everywhere if everywhere or everything that we perceive is just an illusion in Ishvara. So even as in dream world. So a person goes to bed and he has a dream. So in the dream world, a person himself becomes everything. So he sees many things, he sees many objects, many people, many activities, everything goes on. All those are, like, in all those, he is there, the person is there. All those are pervaded in and out by this person, the dreamer. Because the dream world is just an illusion in the dreamer. Similarly, Ishvara, like, since Ishvara yato vaimani bhutani jayante ena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisambishanti tad vijitnyasasva tad brahmeti. So, like, that from whom this world has come, that in whom this world resides, that onto whom this world will merge at the time of destruction, know him to be Ishvara or Brahman. And that is what is to be known, tadvijitnyasasva. That is worth knowing, and know that to be Brahman, is what like Taittiriya Upanishad says. So, Ishvara, Ishvara pervades this world because this world is an illusion in Ishvara. Ishvara is everything. Ishvara alone is present here. Then that is something like which we can repeat in the mind over and over again. And when this thought, when this Advaita Bhavam, when this contemplation of non-duality gets strengthened in the mind, so then like we will be able to get immense bliss. Then attachment to action will immediately get reduced. Then like we will also be able to we'll very easily be able to overcome the bondage of action. So bondage of action will immediately vanish if we are able to remember that everything is pervaded by one Ishvara. So Advaita Bhavam, the greatness of Advaitam, vision of oneness or Samatvam or Advaitam, is that the more and more we do that, we will be able to get rid of the bondage of action. And this bondage of action is something which is very huge and very bad. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. So it leads to many births, like births and deaths, like continue over and over again, as Vidyaranya says, Kurvate Karma Bhogaya Karma Kartum Cha Bunjate. Man does actions in order to enjoy, and he enjoys in order to do more action. So that's like the chain kind of continues over and over again, and never it ends. It never ends. So it becomes like the hen egg story. The hen lays an egg. The egg from the egg, another hen springs out, and like this continues over and over again. So this goes on again, and this never ends. So since this never ends, we will never be able to get any bliss. So there will be no peace, like we will not be able to get any peace in the world if we don't keep this in mind. But if we keep this in mind, the bondage of karma will immediately vanish. And when bondage of karma vanishes, what exactly happens is, we will never be bound by karma, we'll never be bound by birth. So birth and death. So there's like always like, or most of the time we worry about things in the world because like we think like we are going to die. So death, the fear of death lurks in the mind at all times. So we'll be able to overcome it very easily, very easily. Like we'll be able to overcome it if we are able to remember that Ishvara alone pervades this entire world. And as Amma says, like if we consider everything as Ishvara's will, everything is Ishvara means everything is Ishvara's will. Whether good happens or bad happens, all those are Ishvara's will because they are all Ishvara. So if we are able to do that, then very soon we will be able to conquer. This doesn't take much time. People think like it takes a lot of time for Vedanta to give its fruit or effect. Yes, it may take time. Like Vedanta does take time. Takes time. It is not something like which is that simple. But Ramana Maharshi says that if a sadhaka has the strong desire, then the time like taken in a dark room to dispel darkness, like when we switch on the light, that is the time taken for realization. So that means like it doesn't take any time. It is very quick. If we have the right desire, if we have the proper attitude, this moment we can realize. This moment. Maybe like we may have to repeat it over and over again. It may not stay in the mind at all times, but we can, at least if we are able to get a glimpse at least once, then we will be able to continue on it over and over again. Repetition will be easy. So once we have tread down a path. So like we daily drive to office. So when we drive to office, like we don't know the route. So one day, like we are able to, get to a route. So we use the GPS. So once we get into that route, like once we get a grasp of the route, then the next time it becomes a little easier. The next time still easier. So once we get a glimpse of the bliss that came in, that comes out from the Atman, then the next time it will be very easy. It will be very easy to repeat it. And the more and more we repeat it, like we will be able to abide in it at all times. And when we abide in it at all times, we'll be able to ever rejoice in bliss. And such a person like who is able to remember Ishvara, Brahman, as all pervasive, and thereby conquer the bondage of karma in like twofold ways. So first is, of course, first this it is known that like we should know who this Ishvara is. That's another thing. And the first thing is bondage of karma by performing actions as an offering to Ishvara. And the second is considering the fruit of action as a gift, as a blessing from Ishvara. Yad yad karma karomi tattad akilam shambho tava aradhanam karacharana krutam va kayajam karmajam va shravana nayana jam va manasam va paradam vihitam avihitam va sarvametat akshamasva. So like whatever yadyat karma karomi tattad akilam, yadyat karma karomi, whatever actions I do, tattad yadyat karomi tattad akilam shambho tava aradhanam. O Ishvara, it is your aradhana. So aradhana of Ishvara means like considering everything as Ishvara's, as Ishvara is aradhanam. Ishvara aradhanam is offering everything to Ishvara with the knowledge, with the thought in the mind that everything is Ishvara. So that is aradhana. So when we are able to do that, this aradhana, then like very easily we will be able to get to the goal of anandam. And such a person is one like who is a sannyasi, he is a yogi. So whether he is a sannyasi or a karma yogi, it doesn't matter. He becomes like he will be a true yogi. He'll be a true yogi because such a person is has advaita bhavam, and with that advaita bhavam comes mental peace. So the mind, as Shankara says, nistaranga jala rashi nishchalam. The mind is generally like an ocean. So there will be always waves, and in between waves there will also be tide. So when tides are there, like waves will be more. So the mind is like that, from one thought to another thought, like it will go from one to another very quickly. So that's why Swami Vivekananda says it's like a drunken monkey. So drunken monkey which goes from one place to another. And Amma says like it's not just drunken monkey, but imagine that there is a drunken monkey. Monkey itself jumps from one branch to another. A drunken monkey doesn't know anything, so it will easily jump from here to there. And imagine that a coconut falls at the head of the on the head of the drunken monkey. So that is how like we'll be moving here and there like waves. But once we are able to gain this focus, once we are able to remember everything as Brahman Ishvara, then our mind will become like an ocean without waves. Waves means turbulence, so there will not be any turbulence. When there is no turbulence, when waves and tides are there, so like waves and tides like cause trouble. The wave that we know as the wave caused by an earthquake is what is tsunami, and the tsunami that hit Chile and many other places like Hawaii. So many places, like even in Australia, it was there very recently. So waves or turbulence is always a problem. Turbulences or changes are always a problem. But like when a person is able to remain without changes, so the mind remains like an ocean without waves, then there will be only bliss. And this is very easily achievable as well. And for this, just to achieve this, like we don't exactly have to Like we don't necessarily, or we don't have to go to some ashram and take sannyasam. We don't have to like do worldly actions like many people do, like American Red Cross or social service or like become a president. All those, like, we don't have to do all those. We don't have to do any of those. Like, we don't need to take up sannyasam. Like, we don't need to like we don't need to do worldly actions like a worldly person. So we will be able to remain very blissful just by remembering that everything is one Ishvara, one Brahman. So when we just keep this in mind, nothing else, just this. So when we just keep this in mind, automatically we will be able to rejoice in bliss. Such a person is a true sannyasi. Such a person is a true yogi. Such a person is a person like who has, who maintains yogam, who is doing yogam in his mind. So he alone is the one who is doing yogam. So all others are not doing yogam. So they may be doing some or the other activities externally, but they are not doing yogam. So yogam, like a person like whose mind is very calm with contemplation of Advaitam, Advaita Bhavam, such a person is a true yogi, which is what Krishna will say later in the chapter. The next shloka also will explain this, but with this shloka we can try to implement this. Like, we can try to implement Advaitam, we can try to maintain Advaita Bhavam in the mind, we can try to overcome the bondage of karma by remembering that the Ishvara alone is present here, and thereby offering all actions, all activities onto Ishvara, and doing activities without any craving for the fruit of action. No, Ishvara Pitam Na Ichchaya Kritam, as Ramana Maharshi says. So performing actions without without getting attached to the action by offering it to Ishvara and not craving for the fruit thereof. Like, when we do that, we will become a true sannyasi, we will become a true yogi. And even if externally we are not a karma sannyasi, externally we are not a yogi, like we are very bad in external activities, doesn't matter. We will be very blissful. So people who do activities very well, like Tiger Woods, is like the best in golf. So, but like, we know what is happening, the scandal, all scandals. So externally he may be the best person, like he may appear to be a very best person, very very apt person, but internally he is not an apt person. He has all bad things, bad qualities, bad actions. That means, like, externally we will not be like a sannyasi or not a yogi, like a karma yogi. Any of these people, like role models, are doing very good actions. We may not be able to do any of those, but internally we will be able to ever rejoice in bliss. So all these people, though externally they put up a face, so internally they are not happy, they are not blissful. So it is a kind of a wonder looking at many of the sports. So let's say like cricket. So there are many great people in cricket. So but like we would wonder as to how Sachin Tendulkar has achieved the top goal. We will wonder as to how Sunil Gavaskar, he was like, he had the record for the maximum number of runs in test cricket, the first person to score 10,000 runs in test cricket. So he had all those. How these people are able to like become so great in actions? Because they are to an extent bhaktas of Ishvara. Bhaktas of Ishvara means at least to an extent. How? They both are Puttaparthi Sai Baba Bhaktas. So they are Sai Bhaktas. That's the reason why, like, they are able to do that. Mandalini Srinivas, he plays like mandolin like nobody else. He is able to play it so wonderfully from a young age. Why? He is like an ardent devotee of Kanchi Acharya. So whenever he has to go out of country, like, he goes and meets Kanchi Acharyas, gets their permission and then goes. That means, like, when we have a bit of devotion, if not Advaita Bhavam, at least a bit of surrendering, attitude of surrendering and considering it as, considering fruits as Ishvara's will. Even if we don't really remember initially that Ishvara is all pervasive, at least temporarily that will take us to an elevated state externally, and mentally as well. But if we remember that Ishvara is all pervasive, Ishvara is Advaitam or Advaitiya Satyam, then we will get the ultimate fruit, ultimate goal of moksham or anandaman, as Shankara says. We will nandati nandati nandatyeva. So externally yoga rato va bhoga rato va yogam bhogam. So externally, like whether we are one time we are sannyasis sangam, other time like we are like worldly people sangam, it doesn't matter. If our mind is yet brahmani ramati chittam, if our mind is contemplating on Brahman, since such a person nandati nandati nandatyeva. So may Amma bless us so that through overcoming the bondage of karma by like maintaining Advaita Bhavam in the mind, like we will become a sannyasi and a yogi. Whatever Krishna defines as sannyasam and yogam, that sannyasam and yogam which will give us mental peace, which will give us eternal bliss in the mind. We'll continue in the next day with the next shloka, but until then, like may Amma bless us for the same. I'm sure.